Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Let's Talk Jets Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Jets Radio. This is one of your hosts, Tyson Rausch, at Talk Jets Radio, Instagram and Twitter, Let's Talk Jets Radio on YouTube. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody that's been joining us, interacting with us, leaving us feedback. We definitely appreciate it. We're heading into a very quiet time of the season once the schedule is announced, so we'll maybe change things up, get some real creative topics here. So let me introduce Mr. Primetime. What's up, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. And what I like, man, is the last couple shows, all your positivity is coming out, and everybody is embracing your energy and your passion. And are you enjoying all this momentum?
I'm trying to. I mean, are you saying that I should switch it up a little bit and bring some chaos to the show tonight, or should we keep the positive momentum rolling for the next few months?
No, see, listen, I joined the show late last week, and I was going to join in, but then you and Tyrone sound so, like, educated and professional. It was, like, almost like a real football show. I just sat back and had popcorn and enjoyed it, man. I was like, wow, this is entertaining. It was informative. I was impressed, man.
See, but like I said last night, though, I don't know if that's what our viewers are used to. I don't know if that's what they really want. You know, I feel like a lot of people tuned in once we were going through, you know, the fire Adam Gase era last year and all the tank for Trevor nonsense. So, you know, I don't know if fans are used to the calm and trust the process approach.
Well, you know what it is, though? It's like you give Tyrone 1 week like that, and you know damn well by this week he'll be back waffling again and saying some shit. Maybe he'll get Vera Tucker's name right this time instead of calling him ATV. I mean, maybe there's a lot of things that can change this week. So let's bring on Mr. Controversy, I mean Hollywood. What's up, man?
What's going on? What's up? What's your baby?
Oh, you got your energy back now? You're all mellow last week.
Hey, bro, I had a long-ass week, bro. So, you know, man, just blessed to be here, you know. About to be a real gas shortage for real. So fill up your vehicles and be prepared for the weekend because it might not be good. Other than that, man, I'm excited about the team, bro. I'm excited about what's going on. I'm excited about where we are. You know, we had the Young Bucks in the building this week, man. I'm talking to my two brothers. I mean, you know, the schedule come out tomorrow, man. What else can I be mad about, man?
I know. I got something to be mad about. You know what I'm mad about? You know, I'll tell you what I'm mad right now. How is Joe Douglas not signing Tim Tebow, man? Come on. This is some bullshit.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something, bro. You know, I don't know if y'all saw what I put on Twitter yesterday, but this is the type of stuff I hate the media with. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, they bash us. Urban Meyer is a – bro, he's never coached in the NFL. But all of a sudden, Jacksonville is going to be such a good team because he's the coach. We're such a bad football organization, but they aren't the laughing stock of the league. Signing Tim, that shit is just awful publicity. You got, and watch what happens. If they start losing, all of a sudden he has health issues and he can't coach no more. I feel bad for Shot Khan. I feel bad for him, bro, because that's a badass move signing him, bro, because he's not going to want to be there if they're not winning, bro.
Wait, why do you feel bad? I feel bad for him at all. I mean, Shot Khan's being off. They're all spending all this money and talking all this trash and. They got Trevor. They got the high-profile coach. I don't feel bad for him at all. I mean, Urban Meyer's done a lot of questionable things. I think he still is. His program in college damn sure works, but will it translate to the pros? I have no idea, but
exactly.
I'll just joke around,
that's
man. The Tim Tebow thing is ridiculous. But as you look at rookie camp, and this is the funny thing, like, dude, I love Jet fans, and I am probably one of the most excited fans now where I've bought in. Like, I love the way Saleh handles things. I love the way Joe Douglas is handling it. Like, Woody Johnson's backed off. Now he's probably one of the best Jets Twitter account to
in
follow.
The world. In the world, bro. He's killing it, bro.
So you got all these good things. So it's like, I know we're all excited, but then rookie camp comes, and for me, the only thing I take away from that is just all the interviews and what the players are saying. If you think we're going to sit here and analyze 6-yard passes, be like I was getting tweets, yo, Zach Wilson looks sharp. bro, come on, man. Like, listen, I'm as excited as the next guy, but, dude, he's throwing – this is just basic fundamental football. If anything, you want to – you like that he's talking about hard work, chemistry, earning every rep. They're all talking about, you know, just accountability and leadership. All the, they're saying all the right things. Other than that, I learned absolutely nothing this weekend other than the fact they're trying to get a deal done with Marcus May. Other than that, dude, it was a quiet weekend.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, they didn't show anything. That was the funny part to me. Like, you know, you didn't get to see a whole lot. So it wasn't too much to get excited about. I mean, I was looking. I was trying to get excited. I was hoping that we could see more. But like I said, man, I'm just excited about where, the direction we're going. Like, we got these young kids in the building. They're hungry. They want to win. They're doing their job right now, and that's all they can do. The vets come in, you know what I'm saying, next week, and they're going to start working. And that's what it's going to show, man. You're going to show and prove, man, what's going on and who wants to be there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you're just seeing, like, you know, Zach Wilson's already trying to get some chemistry with his receivers, hanging out with him, doing things. And that's how you build your bonds, man. It's off-the-field stuff. It's hanging out, you know, getting dinner, studying film together, working on chemistry, working on routes, doing all the – and that's just going to take time. Like, that's not going to be no instant thing. But I think if you look at anything, the way the team is handling themselves, it's going to be a close-knit group. It's, you know, all for one, one for all kind of mindset. Salah's, you know, personality and approach is infectious. You could tell it's going to rub – the players are going to love it. They're all talking about it already. And then you let it all play out. One thing I don't understand is that fans are like, this team hasn't won shit yet. No kidding, but they haven't played a game yet. For me, it's like I'm enjoying day by day now. This is a process, like Kevin said before, day by day. Listen, free agency came and went, some good, some bad. The draft came. We really don't – after the fourth round, we really have no idea what we have. It's like a ton of talent there, but do they work out or not? But it's like, all right, if you look at the team now on May 11th, they're improved, dude. I think on and off the field. I think they have a better coach, even though he's never coached a game in the NFL. I think him in the building is a step up over Adam Gase. I think Woody Johnson backing out makes the front office better. I think the talent on the field is going to be better. So, to me, like right now, if you had to say what's the current state of the Jets, dude, I'm excited. I think they're heading in the right direction. What that means in 2021, I have no fucking idea. That could be 5 wins, but it's going to be a lot better than the shit we saw last year. I mean, what do you think, Kevin?
I think exactly what you said. I mean, it all starts with the coach. I mean, just having that coach that you can believe in, kind of like we talked about last night and even on Tuesday's show, you know, you can finally feel like, all right, you know, there's something to look forward to. With Gase, right away you sense this is exactly what we were getting from Miami. Now with Coach Saleh, you know, you hear all the players talk about, you know, the relationships he built with them over in San Francisco. He's a player's coach. They want to run through a brick wall for him. Like, that kind of mindset, that kind of attitude, and even the way he handled rookie minicamp, not like we would really, you know, see a whole lot, but I liked how he treated it like a game week. Like, you know, they were installing an offense, they were installing defense, and they were trying to build on it each day, even though it was only like a 3-day minicamp. You know, I liked the way he approached that. So, you know, I think that's infectious. It's going to rub off on the players. And ultimately, like, just like even the little details as far as, like, you know, making adjustments in game and, you know, scheming guys open, I feel like these players are finally going to be put in the right position to succeed. And so even some of the guys that, like, we haven't really talked about a whole lot, you know, some of the depth that we got into last night on the D-line, you know, all these players that, you know, we thought maybe were bust under the past regime, now they get new life. And so that's exciting for me.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, and it's like you just nailed it right there. It's like, last year, we discounted so many players because they were so poorly coached and the environment was toxic and it was shit. So it's like, all right, you know, like the one thing I'm most impressed about, and we talked about this almost the entire offseason, was we want to hire a CEO-type coach. It's important, a guy that manages the offense, the defense, the special teams. He doesn't have his head stuck in the defense and doesn't know what the fuck is going on offense. And, dude, Saleh can answer any question on any position on any player in the field. And it's impressive, dude. He says, listen, what's that wide receiver doing? He breaks it down. What is this guy going to do? He knows it all. Like, he is detail-oriented, and he's involved in everything. And that makes me feel a lot better, where it's like, all right, listen, like, when you ask him a question, you know, why did the offense fuck up? Well, you know what? It wasn't the look we wanted. Instead of saying, you know what, I got to watch the tape. And what he's going to do, he's going to get respect for that. He's going to have credibility for that. He's going to have accountability for that. And that's huge, man. That right there alone is a big step up. And then when you look at, you know, the players in these schemes, it's like we kind of worry about, you know, the tight end position. Maybe this is the offense that can let Chris Herndon break out more. Or maybe, you know, like things like that. Maybe there's some players that – maybe the offensive line, maybe McGovern's better than this. You know, and on defense, maybe Bless Austin or Bryce Hall or Javelin Guidry, maybe they're better because of this coaching staff. And those opportunities and those options are kind of exciting for me. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, and even like going back to your first point, like I never understood for Gase, like how you could be an offensive coach and not understand defensive principles, or even vice versa, you know, a defensive coach not understanding offensive principles, and even more importantly, not being able to break it down in game. Like, how many live streams did we do in the middle of, you know, second quarter, third quarter? Like, what the fuck are they doing? Why are they not making adjustments? And then we listen to the post game, and Adam Gase had no idea. Got to watch the film. Like, dude, your job is on the spot to be able to put these players in the right position if they're not currently in there based on what you prepared for during the week. You got to be able to make those decisions on the spot. And if he's not able to do it, if he's not able to explain it to the media, something's wrong there. And so just listening to Salah right now, I know they haven't played a game yet. It just seems like he's clued in. Like he knows what he's doing. He's got a sense, you know, for the offense, for the defense, like you said, a CEO type who's going to have his hands on the entire team.
Yeah, and the one thing I'm most curious about is, you know, and this is way down the line, but I'm just like, you try to think forward a little bit. It's like, all right, he has the pulse for the offense. He knows what the hell's going on in defense. Will he be the kind of coach that, say, like LaFleur is calling three running plays in a row, and it's like, you know what, man? I want you to call a pass here, like, because I know what you're trying to do, but in this offense, I want to see you do this. Like, will he step in and do things? And that was the one thing, like, I'm old, so I remember what Parcells would do that. When Parcells would be like, listen, man, I understand your trend, I understand what you're trying to do, but if I'm going to lose, I'm losing with my play, and this is the play I want you to call. Like, I wonder if he will do that on offense. That's the curious thing about how he handles his team.
Yep. I mean, again, I think he should be willing to. I mean, this is his team. You know, you want to be able to be that CEO type. I mean, I know you want to put a certain amount of trust in your coaches. But at the end of the day, this is your team. This is your job. You're either going to get all the credit if they win, or you're going to ultimately take the fall if they lose. So, you know, you want to be behind all those decisions. Like, you know, the Greg Williams call on the zero blitz at the end of the game against the Raiders. Like, for Adam Gase to just sit there and allow that shit to happen with his job on the line, like, that was fucking ridiculous.
Well,
I definitely
kind of coach. I really think he's the kind of coach going to coach his coach as well, though. I think, you know, I think he's the overseer of everything. But the one amazing thing I took away from last weekend was just his demeanor, bro. And he had the best joke when it was so funny. He was like, "Yeah, man, after the whistle blew, I got behind so I could listen to the coach." And I was like, "Oh, snaps, I'm the coach." And that just shows you his personality, bro. Like, how can you not like a guy like that? Now, I love the environment right now. I love the kind of coach we have, man. And it seems like we don't just have a defensive-minded coach. We actually have a head coach, bro, that's willing to cover everything. But, you know, let's just hope that, you know what I'm saying, we give him a chance to be a coach, man. You know, we, as a fan base, man, we get frustrated really quick. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes we gotta allow, you know, we're not used to a winning organization. We're not used to having a coach that's going to be honest and tell you, like, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we didn't do our job. Or he's going to hold guys accountable, man. And I enjoy that. And just like with our quarterback, man, like, listen, man, we got to give this kid a chance. Like, yeah, the kid has a good arm, but the kid's learning a new system. Now, the system is a quarterback-friendly system. So, if you know, they put him in position to win, then he's going to win some games and make some great throws. And my biggest – like, someone had asked me earlier, they were like, what would you think the best two – traits of the team is right in the strong points of the team right now. I would say defensive line, and I said the two most important things. I said right now is defensive line because our defense has to play well, and I say our offensive line. I said, you know, but we still have a void on the right side.
The
I mean, I understand that we still have,
not the receivers.
None. I mean, I'm just saying, like, no. For me, I think it's O line. I think that if we can give this kid time, have a good running game, that's how you make it easy for this kid. You know, our receivers are way better than what they were. But I'm just saying, for me, it's really about the O-line and D-line. I think if our D-line plays great, it'll help us with our cornerback situation. And I think that if our O-line plays great, we'll be able to run the ball and control some games and not put as much pressure on this kid and throw the ball 40 or 50 times a game. I just think that's a bad recipe for success. Let this kid grow. I mean, like someone had said earlier, this game is going to go fast. This is not college. I mean, college plays fast, but the NFL is a whole different level. They're talking about OTAs. They said OTAs were, you know, the OTAs were, yeah, one speed, but when the veterans get in there, it's a whole other speed. So just give this kid a chance, man. I'm happy about where we're at, bro. I really am.
Well, and the other thing. Okay, Kevin. Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, like, going back to the first point that you were making, you know, like when Salah, you know, forgot that he was supposed to address the team as the head coach, like, that was a laughable moment, but it was also authentic. You know what I mean? Like, and I think players get a sense for that. Like, if you're a coach that's up there just, like, you know, shouting out bullshit quotes or you're not real, you're going to have a very hard time getting the players to buy into what you're trying to build. But when you're authentic, when you're like the person that you are, like, he's not trying to be anything that he's not. And I think the players can really see that. And again, I know it's very early. You know, he hasn't coached an actual game yet. There's a whole lot of time for, you know, maybe things to go wrong. But I just get a feel like right now he's an authentic dude. And like when you have that kind of personality running your team, it just sends good vibes throughout the building.
You know, and the one thing that I like that he does, it's like he's not putting one player ahead of everybody else. He's like, listen, like, I understand Zach Wilson's here. He's the hot shot quarterback. He's all this. But, like, we're all in this together. Like, we got to help him. He's got to help us. Like, we're all pieces to the puzzle. And that's huge, dude, because, you know, a lot of times I think with Sam Darnold, he was put on this platform like, you got to save us. You're the franchise. You're this. You're that.
Every quarterback. Yep.
Yeah, and this one, they're like, listen, we understand he's number two pick in the draft. We understand the expectations for him. But if we don't support him right, or if we don't build around him right, or if we don't coach him right, or if we don't give him the right performance and training around him, he's not going to succeed. So we have to do all have to do our parts. Like it's an organizational effort, and that message is continuous, man. And that's impressive, man. Now, can it all play out if they do that? Remains to be seen. But like from where we were to where we are, the state of the franchise is better. It just is.
1,000%. Completely agree.
So, and the other thing, Tyron, I have a question for you before we go to callers, because we have a couple callers on here, one good, one bad, one all right. Tyron, what is your prediction for the season opener? What team do you think it's going to be? And now he dropped off. I guess he must be in a shitty coverage area. Prime time, what is your prediction?
I'm sticking with what I said last night. I still think it'll be Jacksonville week one, and then we'll see Sam Darnold sometime on Thursday night prime time.
Yeah, I think the same thing, man. Everybody's kind of saying, oh, they're going to do the Bills. I'm like, I don't think they're going to give the Jets the Bills. I think they're going to say, listen, you know, rookie quarterback. I mean, the Darnold fucking, you know, Zach Wilson, you know, I mean, Darnold. The Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence thing would be pretty cool. You know, they're both young quarterbacks, their debut. And then I think it would be cool to have it at MetLife Stadium where they're saying now there's a good chance it'll be full capacity. Who knows what they're restricted, how they're going to do it. But that would be pretty cool. Have the home opener, season opener, kind of like the return to normalcy. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to get back in that building. I can't believe I'm actually saying that, you know, with how much we used to shit on MetLife. But, you know, like you just said, you know, getting back to some normalcy, you know, having a full stadium, hopefully we can get that place rocking a little bit. Maybe have Fireman Ed do some chants. That'd be nice.
Yeah, so I guess the schedule comes out tomorrow night. And according to the Jets, I guess single-game tickets are also going to go on sale tomorrow night. So that's going to be interesting to see how they do that. I'm expecting it probably be a clusterfuck, but we'll see what happens with that.
How do you possibly sell single game tickets without knowing that you could definitely go full capacity?
Yeah, that's what I don't know. Like, I think Murphy kind of hinted towards that. I mean, I think you're in a tough spot because you look at how do you have, you know, Texas Stadium with 73,000 fans for the Canelo fight. You have USC fights selling out all across the country now with fans. And you're going to be like, we could only have 25,000 fans in the Meadowlands or the MetLife. I think that, you know, and that's in September. I think the writing's on the wall. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
I mean, even here, like, you know, I'm down the shore. Like, the Stone Ponies have a concert now. Like, the summer stage is opening up in July. So, I mean, that, you know, that's – everybody's kind of – you know, I think once you get to, like, July 4th and after that, they're going to be a lot more opened up. So I think the Jets are kind of falling in line with that. I'm just curious to see what the ticket prices are, how do they handle it, you know, with the season tickets. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with all this.
No doubt.
So, Primetime, do you want to go with – a solid caller, or do you want to go with a questionable caller to lead off the show?
Let's start it off with something solid.
All right, we'll go to Jomo. Jomo, what's up, man?
Good way to start.
Hey, Jomo. Guys, nothing much, man. What's up? What's up, Primetime?
Hi.
Hey, so you guys were just talking about that first game of the season. I'd like to see the first game of the season – I would like to see Jacksonville. I think that'd be an interesting one. But, man, we've been going up against the Bills for the past 2 years on opening day. I definitely don't want to see that. I'd like to see maybe the Dolphins or the Patriots, you know. I think that would be cool. Like, if we go into the season playing the Dolphins, whether it's in Miami or in the Meadowlands, I mean, if we come out winning that game, is that not just like a message to the rest of the league?
But what's the message? I mean, if they come out and play very well on both sides of the football and Zach Wilson looks confident, that's kind of a message too. Like, to me, it's like, I understand the win means a lot, but, I mean, just coming out and putting up an excellent performance, they look like a well-run team, physical, you know, good game plan, you know, good time management, good game management. That's a statement, too. Like, all right, Jets, you know, the Jets had their shit together.
Yeah, man. And to piggyback off of you guys, all the positivity surrounding the team, I mean, as Jet fans, if you don't feel the positivity, if you don't feel the change, like, it's just like a different vibe that we get from not only the coach, but, like, just the whole organization. I mean, you got Woody Johnson. He's fucking Jets media god right now. I mean, he's posted all this shit, and it's just getting me hyped up. I mean, it just – and then hearing Sala talk, like, he talks like it's a team, you know? And I feel like when Darnold was coming in, we expected him to do so much for us, and the pressure was all on the quarterback. And Sala and Douglas, they're both making sure that this quarterback goes in with the least amount of pressure as possible. I mean, saying that, you know, we know it's a team effort, there's pressure on everybody. It's not just the quarterback. Like, that alone is going far and beyond of whatever we ever did for Sam, you know?
Yeah, and that goes back to the initial phone call that they made. Like, we're going to elevate you. It's not your job to come in here and save the organization. It's our job to coach you upright, to put the right pieces around you, and get the most out of you.
Exactly.
And also, I think that, you know, just being a team that just ruined a quarterback, you know what I'm saying, you know what not to do. You have a blueprint of the mistakes that were made, and, you know what I'm saying, the best way to learn in life is a mistake. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you were a kid and, you know, you got popped for doing something, or don't touch stove and hot, you burn your finger, you didn't do it again. So I think that us, you know, what happened with Sam, you know, I think definitely, you know, gave the blueprint of what not to do. And I also think the solid comes from a winning organization. San Francisco has been a winning organization for a really long time. And also, you know, they had that environment. They had that kind of understanding. You know, they expect their GM to do their job. They expect their, you know, and the guys in the building do their job and the players they bring in. So, I mean, like I said, man, when you have that kind of environment and then you bring it over to us, I mean, only good things can happen. And then Joe Douglas himself, you know, I think it took him a little while to get acclimated, but I think that now that he's kind of got his fingerprints on everything and got some of the guys out the way, I think it's only, you know what I'm saying, it's only open doors for him.
It's so nice and refreshing to see that Douglas is prioritizing building around the quarterback. We were preaching it for months in the offseason. Build around the quarterback. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Darnold, Watson, a rookie. And that's what Douglas did, man. He could have addressed the offensive line a little bit more, but the whole receiving core is completely revamped. We got explosive playmakers. We got big playmakers. I mean, even if Mims doesn't pan out, you got Elijah Moore. He was just a second-round pick. You got him. He could step in. He could be that guy. I mean, you got Corey Davis for 3 years now. You got Keelan Cole. Like, there are so many guys on this receiving team, this receiving squad, that could produce, that can help the young quarterback, you know?
It's so telling. Really, at the depth chart, too. Like, Vincent Smith, Jeff Smith, Berrios, Lawrence Cager. Yeah. Like, all those guys were on the field for the first half of the season last year. They're your, like, 7th, 8th, 9th. 10th wideouts right now, which is crazy.
Yeah. And they got so much experience.
He did all this one-off season. Yeah, that's the great thing about
that's
it.
That's impressive.
You know, looking at where we were last year, receiver core, I mean, you know, it's the A+. And the funny thing, the thing that really intrigues me about this is, like, you know, these are young players that can grow with Zach. These guys are young anyway, you know what I'm saying? So, and then everyone was like, well, get rid of Crowder. I was like, for what? I said, we're the only team that have talent and then get more talent and want to get rid of the talent that we had. Nah, keep Crowder there for a little while, man. Let him groom this young man because it's a different level, you know what I'm saying? But I think he's going to be a monster, bro. I really think he's going to be so high on Moore, man.
As soon as he picks his jersey, I'm getting his jersey, man.
I'm staying away from all jerseys this year. Clearly it's me. I'm the jinx.
Yeah, prime time jersey for you.
Prime time. How many Sam jerseys do you have, prime time? I'm just asking.
I only got two Sams, believe it or not. I only got two Sams. I still have the Hackenberg and Gino and all the other ones behind us. So,
prime time, listen, don't ever tell nobody on this earth you bought a Hackenberg jersey, but you keep that shit.
It was from China, at least. It was only like $25. So.
Yeah, you can send it back. It wasn't worth 25, but nah, I'm just joking. But nah, man, like, it's so, you know, listen, man, the schedule comes out tomorrow, man. How you feeling, bro? Like, I mean, I know you said that you don't want to play Buffalo.
I can't wait.
I think it's going to be Buffalo. What do you think, Prime Time?
I think it's going to be Jacksonville.
Hey, listen. Hey, can I say this right here? I want to call it right now. The Carolina game will be a Thursday night game. Anybody want to bet me?
It'll definitely be a prime time game too.
Wait, Tyron, do you think that's a hot take? Is that supposed to be a bold take? Everybody's saying the same thing. We're not impressed by that.
Yeah, listen, that game is going to be on Thursday. Whatever, Tyson. Hey, listen, wouldn't it be nice, bro, to start the season? I know everything is a division game, start the season off. Wouldn't it be nice, man, to play Jacksonville first, though? Wouldn't that be nice, man, number one and number two in the draft?
I really want to
like that
Miami
because I think that's a winnable game, too.
I like that matchup. I do like that matchup. I think it'll sell tickets week one and get a lot of views. But, man, I want us to play Miami, whether it's in Miami, whether it's in the Meadowlands. I mean, dude, Miami just went 10-6. You know, they're a respected team around the league. Every single report you see, every reporter, every single analyst, they all think that Miami is a playoff contender, you know? And if we could step in week one and show everybody, like, yeah, we just beat that team. We know they got a great defense. I mean, I just think that would
Wouldn't you rather that for, like, you know, week three, week four? Like, you know, give the, like, all the new offense, new defense, solid, new quarterback, give everybody a chance to kind of, you know, get comfortable for a bit, and then you can have those divisional games? I mean, I know you're going to have at least one, but maybe, like, New England week two, I think that would be the nice one to start. Say Buffalo for middle of the season.
I get what you're saying, but I just feel like the team getting – like if we get that win week one against a respected team, it brings the morale – the morale.
A win's a win, dude. A win's a win.
Exactly.
Who cares who we beat? Let's just win. I don't give a shit they beat whoever it is. Let's win and play well. I don't care who it is. I kind of agree with Kevin, though.
I want Buffalo first, though, man.
What do you guys think about the Marcus May situation? You think he's
going to be signed? Hold on a second. Tyro, why do you want Buffalo first?
I'll be honest with you, bro. Like, that give us a real deal of what we had as a football team. You know what I'm saying? Our young quarterback
is going to be a great
defense.
Let me understand this.
Speaking
of you want to have a first-time head coach, a rookie making his debut against the best team in your division week one. That's ridiculous. Why would you want that?
Yes, sir. Yeah, because, bro, listen, if he plays well against Buffalo, Buffalo's a top-five defense, bro. Like, I think, you know what I'm saying, that'll really tell a lot about where our season's going to go. I mean, I'm fine with that.
And that's your best-case scenario. And what if he gets this fucking ass beat? He's running for his life and we're completely overwhelmed. What is that going to tell you?
He's going to tell me he was going to do it week one or he's going to do it week two. It wouldn't matter, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's who
why not get your feet wet with, like, a lesser team, get adjusted to the season, and then take on Buffalo week four and try to flex your muscle a little bit?
Tyson, it's going to be Buffalo, New England, or Miami. That's the three games we're going to play week one. You know that.
In your opinion.
Everyone knows that.
I don't know anything, dude. I'm not no NFL insider. You don't see no NFL shit in my Twitter account. I'm just a fucking fan. I don't know shit.
Divisional games has been that way since the last couple of years. So I mean,
you never know, man. The NFL likes drama. You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to
play
Buffalo week one. Are you nuts?
You think Marcus May is getting re-signed or what?
Depends what he's asking for.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to say I don't think he's going to get re-signed because he's looking at $10.5 million right now if he plays out this year. Yeah, and that's the thing, like, he's going to get $10.5 million this year, which is more than he would have gotten as a free agent. He's going to be in a better defense, better coach. Like, you know, this is his chance to ball out this year and then test the market again next year.
Yeah.
Unless
I got
the Jets are going to pay him
$10
million over, like, 3 or 4 years, which I don't think they will.
No, I don't think they will, because if they did, I think he would have signed that instantly in a heartbeat. Douglas is probably offering him something like 3 years, $7 million, probably got $20 million guaranteed in there. I don't know. But I think May's probably going to end up walking. He's a good player, but he's just asking way too much for the safety market. I mean, how many safeties did we see get signed for, like, $5 million?
You know,
yeah, Anthony Harris, 1 year, $5 million, I think.
Somebody else, yeah, to the Eagles. That's crazy,
man. For sure. But all in all, man, this defense is going to be great. I think the pass rush is really going to be a bright spot on the whole team.
Hold on a second. Timeout. I'm all about the excitement and the enthusiasm. To say this defense can be great, you're saying it is great this year?
I think if we go not this year but the year before, we were a top 10 squad. We got a lot of players from that top 10 squad that's still on the team. Last year was a tank.
Now, I'm asking you, I'm asking you a very direct question. You're saying this defense in 2021 is going to be great.
I believe that. Yeah, I think we got a top 10 squad for sure. Defense, you know, the offense
Hold on. So you're saying we're going to be great. The defensive line is definitely going to be a strong point. The linebackers, there's a lot of unknowns. And your secondary is completely, minus Marcus May, it's completely unknown.
Yeah. I mean, these are a lot of valid points, but I feel like you bolstered up that defensive line. I mean, everything starts up front, especially at the Sally unit. And, I mean, I feel like our defensive line rotation, man, it's up
there. Who's your number one corner?
Best in the league. Ooh. Corner.
You don't need a number one.
Right.
We're playing that cover three zone, right? You don't need a number one.
Yeah, I mean, the corner's obviously
we don't need
a lot of question marks. But
you got a lot of question marks.
I mean,
I'm not being a dick by no means. I like the scheme. I like the coach. I like the defensive line. If we're being completely honest about shit, we have no idea we're getting out of C.J. Mosley. If he's going to stay healthy, and if he is healthy, what is he bringing to the table? So that's the center of your defense. That's your middle linebacker. We don't know what he's going to be. We don't know what's going to be around him. We don't know who our starting three corners are, and we don't know who our safety is opposite of May. What Ashton Davis is, we have no idea. Is it LaMarcus Joyner?
Well,
there are so many unknowns on defense.
Probably gonna start.
And what does that mean?
I mean, I like LaMarcus Joyner a lot. I think he's a very under the radar signing. I mean, really, you could call it a bold take. You could call it extreme optimism. But I really believe that with the additions we made on the defensive line, it's going to make everything easier on everybody else, man. I mean, when you got guys, and it's going to be a rotation. You got fresh legs in there. You got fresh dogs in there, man. They're going to be rushing the passer. You got Quinnen Williams, year three. Hopefully he comes back, makes a full recovery. He's probably going to be back around July, mid-July. Hopefully it's a full recovery, no setbacks. You got Carl Lawson, Jonathan Franklin Myers, very underrated. Another guy that's underrated that we seem to forget about, and I think he's underrated, Kyle Phillips, man. Kyle Phillips balled out his rookie year.
Yeah, but
getting to the passer.
I'm not disputing your defensive line, dude. The defensive line, you can probably stop the run, do that, and that's okay. Once you stop the run, can you defend the pass? Now, I love Carl Lawson. I think the Jets have some pass rushers, but to call this defense great this year, I think they could be good. You know, and I think with Salah's schemes, it could probably help them out. I think, if anything, they'll be complementary to the offense, which is a complete change of years past. But, I mean, great, dude.
Let me ask you a random question, Joe, because we were talking about D-line.
Yeah.
How many defensive linemen do you think they're actually going to keep this year going to the 4-3? Because I'm looking at the depth chart right now, and there's, like, 9 to 10 guys that you can make a good case for to make the roster. So
8?
I mean, you probably keep around 8 or 9, you know?
Yeah,
because you got
Vinny Curry, Carl Lawson, Fadukasi, Franklin Myers, Bryce Huff, Phillips, Shepard, Quinnen Williams, Uniga, your draft pick, Marshall, Sheldon Rankin.
I think Shepard can be an odd man out, possibly, or maybe Fadukasi. Maybe Fadukasi doesn't fit the scheme. He's more of a nose tackle, run stuffing guy.
Hold on. Did you say Sheldon Rankin's odd man out? Did I hear that right?
No.
Shepard or Fuller.
Shepard.
Rankin's
he's a dog.
Shepard has been coming on the last 2 years, though. You know what I'm saying? He's played really well the last 2 years. So, I mean, it's going to be some good players to cut.
Yeah. I mean, Fadukasi has also played really well, man. But he might not be a scheme fit. It's like we were saying with
Fosse, listen, he ain't going nowhere, bro. Yeah. He's been a straight monster against the run, bro. He might not give you a pass rush, but against the run, he's a straight monster. Yo, nah, he ain't going nowhere, bro. I guarantee you, he's a lot.
I mean, I hope he doesn't go anywhere. But if we're talking about who's the odd man out, I feel like
Zuniga.
Those would be the guys.
Zuniga, yeah, I mean,
possibly.
That's crazy, man. I mean, maybe Huff as well. I mean, saying I actually like Huff last year, bro. Really,
I like
Kyle Phillips a lot, man. I think he shows a lot of promise. You know, I think he was hurt all season last year, but
there's a possibility that we might be cutting three of our mid-round picks from last year between Zuniga, P. Ryan, and James Morgan.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, you got to do what you got. Hey, bro, at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do, man. Good luck with that.
Not
one.
Completely.
I'd rather
cut bait early than, you know, drag this on if they don't think these guys are fit in this team.
Hey, listen, man, New England does it every year, but don't want to say shit, right? But, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
brother, check, man, he whips on all kinds of players. He'll cut first, second round. They'll say word to him. We do it.
Well,
like I said,
to be fair, the NFL's been doing that, man. The NFL as a whole is being a lot more, you know, like, listen, man, we draft you, you're not working out, you're out in a year. A lot of teams are doing that now. But, Jomo, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
Hey,
have
thank
good night,
you, guys. You guys
call,
have a
bro.
Great night, and jet up.
Yes, sir.
Great stuff,
man.
Have a good night.
All right, so we got to kind of do, like, good caller, bad caller. I guess that's probably the fair way to do this. So we got to go to a bad caller now. Steve, what's up, man?
Oh no!
What's up, guys? How you doing? How have you been?
What's going on, Steve?
Long time no talk.
Pretty good.
What's going on, guys? Kevin, Tyson, Tyrone. What's going on?
Well, Steve,
what's
you know
up,
what?
How
we're
you doing,
we're you know what, Tyrone? We're blessed that you took time out of calling the 35 podcasts you call to actually call us too, man. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Listen, I've been taking care of some things, you know, but finally tonight. Hey, finally tonight, I got the opportunity to call in.
And I'm glad you called in, Steve. Now, we didn't get to hear from you last week, but what were your thoughts on the draft?
Oh, I thought the draft was phenomenal, man. I mean, listen, I knew Zach Wilson was going to be at number two, but the Elijah Vera Tucker pick really fired me up. That was incredible. And even when we got Elijah Moore, that was great too. I mean, I really, really thought for most of the beginning of the round, after the beginning of the draft, when the Jets were going to be doing the draft, I didn't expect them. I was hopefully expecting them more to address with the offensive line, but to build around Zach Wilson, even at the wide receiver position, is absolutely phenomenal. And a lot of people are even saying that Elijah Moore could definitely be a potential steal in the second round. I mean, the way how Robert Saleh talks to the players even gets you fired up as a fan. I mean, you got to love the coach. The coach is awesome.
Hey, Steve, I got a question, Steve. In the later rounds, any of those guys, like the defensive players that we took, anybody surprise you, Steve? Like anybody that were kind of shocked that we took in the later round, defensive players-wise?
Yeah. I mean, listen, the cornerbacks that we took, I mean, listen, I said a few weeks ago that we should address the corner position. I mean, I'm glad we did. I mean, it's just the one player I was really surprised a little bit about was the guy, because I haven't heard of him too much, the guy that we got from Florida State in the sixth round, which a lot of people were saying that he could have been potentially – a pick higher up in the draft, but unfortunately he had the torn ACL, you know, in his career in college. But the thing is, though, I love the draft class that we had. It's definitely really, really good. Hopefully these are players that can pan out in the future.
So, Steve, if we had to ask you, what is the current state of the New York Jets as a franchise, what would you say? What do you think? Where do we stand right now?
Right now, here is what I think right now. Because do I think right now we're at that spot just yet? No, but we are moving in the right direction. I would say right now we're in. I'm not going to say that we're like at the bottom like we were last year. But I'm thinking that we're about to get right into the middle of the pack.
So like a 5-6 win team this year, you think?
I'm around there, yes.
Okay, so then if you look at the team, now that free agency is done, the draft is done, what would you consider two strengths of the team and what are two weaknesses?
The two strengths of the team is, I believe, is our wide receiver position and our defensive line. The weakest position right now is definitely our cornerbacks. And if I would also have to say our weakness also too is, I would say it's cornerbacks and tight ends as of right now.
Do you have confidence in the offensive line?
Do I have confidence? I mean, yes, I do. The offensive line to me is in the middle.
Okay, fair enough. So right now you're excited, you're all aboard, and what is your prediction for the season opener? What team are we going to play?
Well, I did predict this. I mean, this is my prediction. I think the Jets are going to open the season on the road this year. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons on the road.
There you go. Now, what is your thoughts on Tyrone wanting to play the best team in our division week one?
I think he's crazy. I think you're crazy, Tyrone, to say something like that. I don't want to open the season against Buffalo. That would be too boring. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what you're talking about with that. It's too boring. What's boring about playing the best team in the division, bro? Seeing where we are. What's boring about
that? No, listen. Buffalo is, but the thing is, it's like, you know, I kind of want to change it up a little bit. Like, let's open against a team, you know, that we don't really get to see a lot. That's why I'm saying let's open the season against Atlanta. And primetime, you were talking about playing against Jacksonville. I'm actually going to say this right now. I think that we're going to play Jacksonville on a Thursday night game at home. I think that game will definitely be primetime, and I think it's going to be a Thursday night game.
If that one's not the opener, I could see it being maybe a Sunday night game. I still think Jets-Panthers will be a Thursday nighter.
Wait. How could you predict a Sunday night game? We haven't been on a freaking Sunday night game since 2011. How could you predict a Sunday night game?
Ooh. Talking about 2011.
How could you predict a Sunday night game? I see that more Thursday night game.
That is absolutely not true that they've not had a Sunday night game since 2011.
No, it's absolutely true. They haven't had a Sunday night game since 2011.
We got a debate here now.
Dude, the reason why we haven't been on Sunday night for many years is because our team's been crap.
Now I got to find a way to look.
Interesting now.
There's no way they've gone 10 years without playing on Sunday night football.
Oh, no. I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact because the last time we had an NBC broadcast a game was the Butt Fumble game on Thanksgiving in 2012.
Hold on, I'm trying to look this up
right now. And that was with the head crew.
Is this true? Does Steve have you here primetime? Does he have you?
I was gonna say if he does, I'll give him a lot of props if he does, if that's actually true.
Tyrone, your thoughts. Is this true? Do you think Steve has primetime here?
I hope not.
I don't know if I'd be able to recover from that.
Nah, I probably tell him, I think, bro, if that's the case, prime time, I probably would just say, bro, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
he might be right. He might be right.
Steve, he might be right because, you know, Steve does call 150 broadcasts a week. So he doesn't, you know, he's on everybody's show. So he could possibly be that. But
how would Steve know this? That's what I'm most curious about.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, too.
The thing is, this comes from a family trait in my family. I just have a great memory.
Holy shit, Steve, you're right.
Damn, he owned primetime just now.
Wow.
2011, man. Jets Ravens. That's the last one I see on here.
It was Jets Patriots.
Jets Patriots, 2012.
That was the Thanksgiving Thursday night game.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Shit.
Last Sunday night game we had was 2011 against New England at home.
Well, it's time for me to pack it up.
Wow. This is just...
God bless and good night. Russell Simmons
Steve,
says,
you know what, Steve? I have to give you credit. You own primetime. You have him speechless. You own Tyrone. You silenced Tyrone with his terrible Buffalo take. You came in and just kicked ass, man. I give you credit.
Thank you very much. Hey, listen.
Major props on that.
This team is moving in the right. Hey, listen. This team is going in the right direction. Hashtag all gas, no break. Let's go.
Have a good night, man. Thanks for calling us.
No problem, guys. Good night.
Holy shit. How the fuck have the Jets not had a Sunday night game since 2011?
Jesus, we have sucked for a long time. Holy shit.
It's been that
long. Is crazy. That is fucking crazy.
That is nuts, bro. That is nuts. Especially after
how the fuck did Steve know that?
AFC Championship games, bro.
I'm speechless right now.
Yeah, I'm no lock on them stuff.
I got owned by Steve.
This is sign of the times right here. So what we'll do is we're going to go to our good friend Matt in Philly. Matt, what's up, man?
What's up, Matt?
Let's go. Yeah, I didn't know that either. That was a good fact. I do know that we did have an NBC game on a Saturday night. I think he was going for Sunday night only, but I think that crew did do a Saturday night game for us. Maybe that's why we haven't had it in so long. They mixed us in on a Saturday when everybody's boozing to watch the Jets, you know?
Yes.
So what are your thoughts, man? Absolutely.
I was actually at that Saturday night game in 2015 against the Cowboys. What a time when Fitz went off. But, yeah, guys, loving the show so far. Tyrone, I have to disagree. I don't want to play the Bills week one just because I still have agita over the last time we played them week one and we collapsed in the second half in Moseley. I'm still nauseous from watching that. I mean, CJ Mosley is the best player.
You mean the best half? The best half of football CJ Mosley played all season? Yeah, I feel you, bro.
I might go as far as that. I've never seen a Jet. I've never seen a Jet play that good in my life. I mean, his absence, you could drive a small Hyundai through these holes that the Bills are opening up in their running game when he went down. My God, was he valuable to us.
Hey, bro, you know what's so crazy, man? You see how happy we were the first half of that game, bro. It was like, yo, all right, we're going to beat the Bills, baby. We rolling, baby. And then he goes down, and then game over. Just knew it was coming.
I was screaming my head off. Levy in the end zone on a two-point conversion, Sam going all around. For that brief three quarters, we were real hype, and we all came crashing down. So, yeah, just long story short, I don't want to play the Bills just because of that. Maybe we could, you know, maybe they could take us lightly if that happens, but I'd rather not open up against the Bills.
So, Matt, what do you think is the two strengths of the team and the two weaknesses of the team as they stand currently today?
Oh, Tyson, can I just say one thing before I get into that?
You can do whatever you want, Matt.
On draft night when they picked – I've been on the show calling in. I've always preached offensive line in the draft. Because when a team releases an offensive lineman, that team views that lineman as replaceable. They're always bringing back a great offensive lineman to their team. So when we jumped up and got that guard, Elijah Vera Tucker, who, you know, I hate the criticism that, you know, guard's not that valuable a position. Does anybody remember what Quentin Nelson did at left guard for the Colts after they drafted him? Their offensive line exploded with him. I mean, I'm not saying AVT is the player Quentin Nelson is, but the position is definitely a valuable position for our line. So that fired me the frick up. I was pumped.
Especially putting him right next to Becton, too. Get that for the next 10 years on your left side.
Oh, my God. That monster side, baby. Listen, just run left, baby. Just run left.
All right, Tyrone, let Matt get his thoughts out here. I think he's on something good here. I'm waiting for this big announcement, Matt. Let's hear these thoughts.
It's not a big announcement, but I'm going into the draft day two, Tyson. I woke up that Friday morning. I was actually off from work, and I said, I'm calling Bob Wischutin because he's filling in for Greeny. And I'm going to call in, and I'm going to say, Bob, we need to take Tevin Jenkins as our right guard with that 34th overall pick. You know, I knew about, you know, Elijah Moore. I'm not saying that was a bad pick. I think he's going to be a great pick because if you think about it, these Ole Miss receivers don't miss the last couple of years. DK, A.J. Brown. Like, I'm not mad about the pick, but, man, was I advocating for Tevin Jenkins, 6'7", Oklahoma State, round out that line. I mean, we did more for our rookie quarterback than for Sam in 4 years. Why not get another big body and build a wall for Wilson?
Yep.
So that's the one thing I kind of wish happened, but what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, so if you wanted an offensive lineman at 34, I assume that you're probably a little upset that they didn't take another offensive lineman for the rest of the draft, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the great offensive lineman in the draft, they're picked in the first two rounds, I think third round, even a stretch. You know, Cameron Clark, when did we pick him last year? I mean, we didn't see the field. So I think there's a big gap with offensive,
okay.
You know, two
what
to
about Davis from Ohio?
Two on.
What about Davis from Ohio State? A lot of people said we gave up too much when we traded up to get AVT. So how do you feel about that? I mean, do you feel like we gave up too much? Because we could have had Watt at, pick 66 prime time or 86? Was it 86 that he went?
I think it was 66, right? Wasn't it the Vikings pick?
Yeah. No, it was one of our picks they had.
I thought it was 66, unless he went later. I think it was 66.
So how do you feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, I like that if they really fell in love with this AVT guy, then let's go get him. You know, if he's really that – if you know, they jumped nine spots for him, then he's going to be worth it, in my opinion. If they think he's not going to make it to 23, let's go get him now. Let's go get our guy and still keep 34. So, yeah, I'm fine with it. I think you said Wyatt, he went 66. I mean, they must have seen – something way more in ABT than him to make this move.
So then, Matt, so if I'm reading your tea leaves correctly, you're pretty excited, man. You're all bought in. You're all fired up. Your current state of the Jets is what? What is your evaluation on this team right now?
You know, a month ago I was grieving Sam Darnold leaving, you know, me in prime time.
Yes,
but
you were.
I've moved on. And
I remember that phone call, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I'm fired up, like, looking at, like, even the Jets' social media, you know, watching Saleh and Douglas have big smiles underneath those masks. It just feels different. I hate that I'm saying that because I feel like I say that line every freaking year. It's different this year. But, you know, this year I really feel like it could be different.
Welcome back, my friend.
You know, that's what I said
Welcome
before
back.
The Buffalo game, Tyrone. That's what I said. It's different this year, and then we collapse. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Nah, man, I mean, listen, man, you know, you're a Jet fan at the end of the day, so you're going to buy in. It just was a matter of time before you came around. But it's like, you know, I mean, it's okay to be excited. I mean, this is, like I said, man, I mean, it just feels different. I know we feel like this every season, but I can really honestly say that, you know, I think they're starting to get things right. You know, I mean, we don't know what the kid's going to do. We don't know how good he's going to be, but I think they improved the offensive line. They got a talented weapon in. Actually, they got two weapons in the running back that we got, Michael Carter. So, defense, you know what I'm saying, cornerback, I wish they'd have done a little bit more. But I like the outside linebackers they got. I like both of them guys, Sherwood and the kid out of Florida State. I think the kid, what Steve was saying about the kid out of Florida State, is this kid was, you know, I mean, he said he could be a first or second round pick if he wouldn't have got hurt. And yet he still came back and played his last two games of the season, which he didn't have to do. So I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to the season, training camp getting started. Absolutely.
You know, Tyrone, I had the same injury. You know, I'm not, you know, going to the NFL, but I tore my ACL. And it's an injury you can come back from. You can these guys are coming back even stronger. So I wouldn't be worried about that. And I have one more thing before you guys let me go. You know, I really wanted Tevin Jenkins, but they went with Elijah Moore. And in my crazy, you know, mind with the Jets, I'm thinking on a whiteboard somewhere in the facility at Florham Park, they got a name that they want to throw in there at right guard. Prime time. You probably know this better than me. Whatever happened to Larry Wolford from the Saints? My man was an all-pro. They dumped him because of contract reasons. And then he opted out of for COVID reasons. You think he could be that name on that board, and that's why we went receiver instead of O-line at 34?
It's possible. I mean, he's still out there as a free agent, but I still think it probably points more to either one of the two veterans between Lewis or most likely Van Roten, since he was the right guard last year, or possibly even Cameron Clark. I know he didn't see the field last year, but, you know, he was also a tackle in college. You were converting him to right guard. So I think there was going to be, you know, a little bit of a transition period there. So year two, I think he should be in the mix.
But they're not good. I hate to say it, but they're just not. I don't know. They hadn't proved themselves. I didn't really love Van Roten. He had moments, but he.
Well, Cameron
my
Clark.
Opinion,
I mean, how
can
he prove himself? He didn't get on the field at all.
Exactly. The best ability is availability.
He was available. They didn't play him. They had an incompetent coach.
He was available. He just was, you know.
And at some point, you have to wonder, like, you know, if Joe Douglas just says, you know what, we know we're getting rid of this coach at the end of the year, why put him in there for, you know, 4 or 6 games to learn a system that he's not going to be playing in the following year? Is it really worth it?
All right, yes. So you're telling me I should trust Van Roten. I'm just thinking, you know, Larry Wolford, what happened to him? I don't hear any buzz on Twitter. Maybe it's maybe it's my time to shine and start throwing his name in hashtags. Maybe get the Jets to Jets beat writers to start saying. Maybe Caparoso and Hughes will say his name because Matt from Philly is talking about him. I don't know.
Yeah,
Matt,
I'm not like
calling, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, bro.
Yep. That's to say, like, I don't know too much on Warford, but isn't he more of like a big kind of guard, like, you know, physical dude? Like, he's not as mobile as what they're looking for, it seems like.
He's not really a zone blocking type guard. He's more of a mauler. So,
yeah.
I'm interested to see what Clark does, though. I think that definitely, you know, so I want to see this kid succeed. I mean, I was happy when we got him because I thought the kid was going to be a monster with Becton, but, I haven't really seen much on him. So, let's see. Hopefully, he can be done.
All right, next up is Max in Island Park. Max, what's up, man?
What's up,
Max?
Fellas?
What's up, man?
How we doing? So, Tyrone,
how you feeling, man?
With you, bro. Give me the Bills in week 1.
Yes, sir.
Why wouldn't you
want
to win this test to see what we're about? And what better time than to take down the chances of our division than the first week of the season? We can catch them asleep.
Tell them, bro.
Worst-case scenario.
Tell them, bro. Tell them again, bro. Come on, man. Tell them again, bro. Tell them again, bro.
It's only going up from there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, man. I'll take the Bills.
That's yourself. Absolutely, bro. I appreciate that, man. And like you said, man, you got to play the Bills regardless, man. Let's see what this guy got. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, you have to play them regardless two times. So why not play them in the middle of the season when you've had several weeks to get acclimated and get your rookie quarterback, rookie head coach, let them get their feet wet?
Hey, listen, man. Well, Mike Tyson said everybody will fight until you get hit in the mouth, baby.
Yeah, but Tyrone, but see, listen, but your mindset, while I understand your mindset, if you have the option to pick who you want to play, I wouldn't pick it. I wouldn't pick the Bills either. Like, listen, if you play them, you play them. So you know what? We'll give you our best shot, and we're going to try to beat you. But if I had a choice with my first-time head coach, my rookie quarterback, to play a lesser defense in week 1, yeah, I'll go that route. That's not being a bitch. That's just being smart. I'd rather just not get the kid killed week 1.
Tyson, let me ask you a question, Tyson. All right. You're a trainer, right? You're a trainer. As a matter of fact, you're a strike trainer on top of that, correct?
Striking coach, correct.
Yeah, exactly. So you teach people how to throw punches and when to throw punches, right? So Tyson, tell me, you know, when you're telling them that, Tyson, when you were competing at the highest level, Tyson, let me ask you a question. You wanted to fight the best, didn't you? You didn't want to fight the guy.
No, but see, Tyrone, this is where your example is going to blow up in your face. If I have a fighter, their first sparring partner is not going to be the best guy in the gym. Their first sparring partner is going to be a lesser guy they can work with and learn from.
Yeah, but we're not talking about just Zach Wilson. We're talking about the whole team in a whole, bro.
Right. The whole team. Yeah, you're right. You're talking about a whole team, a new coach, new coordinators, new schemes, new players, all these rookies running around with their heads cut off, all these new moving pieces week 1. So if I have a choice to play a lesser team where it's going to be a little more competitive, where they can get settled, get accustomed, get their jitters out and everything else, my personal preference is to take a lesser team and take on the Bills week 3, week 4. Like, listen, they play the Bills. Go for it. I'm trying to win. But if you have an actual honest choice, I take a lesser team. I don't give a fuck.
like Conor McGregor, get his ass beat. But you're saying, oh, well, we're going to learn from it. No, you're not going to learn shit from it. It's going to be an absolute beatdown, most likely. You hope that they show some fight, they're well coached, but most likely you're going to get your ass beat, and then Zach Wilson's going to be reading the paper Monday morning, and here we go. Why not have some good vibes on Monday after a win against somebody that's on our level for right now and work our way up to Buffalo?
Yep.
Jacksonville in London? Or is the Atlanta game the one that's possibly in London?
No, Jacksonville's here.
I want Jacksonville.
I definitely wouldn't mind playing Jacksonville.
One-two
picks going off.
One-two picks going at it. You get Zach Wilson going out there against the defense in Jacksonville that's, you know, I don't think it's that great. Why not?
And you got to love
Urban Meyer, also a new coach.
Urban Meyer is he's going to be just a cancer to that team. Bringing in Tim Tebow.
Exactly. Hey, Max, I want to ask you one question, though, Max. Like, what other what other team are you looking forward to just playing? Like, you know, it's one game.
We're taking on Cassandra Saints in, at home.
They don't have a chance coming to MetLife. Didn't we beat the Saints the last time they came to MetLife when they were actually good, too, and we sucked? Didn't we win that game?
Yep.
Graham had a monster game, but we still won.
Yeah. But, hey, is anybody down looking forward to the Carolina game but me? Like, I'm really looking forward to that shit, bro.
That's the first game I'm looking forward to that schedule, bro.
I'm looking forward to that, bro.
It makes me nervous.
That's the one game I'm not looking forward to.
Primetime's dream is going to come true, and Sam might just light us up.
God, I hope not.
What do we like Sam as, though?
That'd be beautiful. I mean, you know, it would just prove us right, and, you know, prove JD right. Hey, I mean, I wish the best for Sam, except for when he's playing us. I mean,
yeah. Let him play great every other week, except for when he plays the Jets.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Bro. Everybody feels that way. I'm looking for Miami,
going into the draft, I really wanted to get two linemen, but looking back on what they did, I absolutely love it. I mean, Elijah Moore, I think he can be Santonio Holmes type, you know, speed guy on the outside eventually. He's going to come in as a slot guy, but I think he's got the tools to work to the outside and be a top receiver in the league. Ole Miss receivers tear it up. You saw the A.J. Brown, you know, tearjerker, you know. It sounds like A.J. Brown might want to come to the Jets eventually. That would be fucking beautiful. But the trade-up for AVT, I've heard all these guys complaining, oh, 2 threes is too much to move up. Let me ask them. Last time we moved up to 14 to grab a player, who was it?
Darrell Revis.
Exactly. I'll take a Pro Bowler at left guard over two, you know, average players, maybe above average players.
Well, that's the goal. I think at this point you have faith in Joe Douglas saying this is the best guard on the block that I want to get, and I'm going to be aggressive and get that guy. Like, there's no guarantee he's the Pro Bowl, but if he has that kind of conviction that's the guy he wants, and he goes and gets him, like, who the hell are we to judge? Like, I get the argument saying, you know what, you could have got two linemen instead of one. But if you consider him that good of a prospect where he's a must-have guy and you go get him, then go for it. You're putting your name on it. Like, we said, like, listen, we want Joe Douglas to own this draft. He's owning it now. He made bold moves. He got a quarterback. He traded up for, you know, for the lineman. He took, you know, took the receiver. So this is all his moves, man. And it's like, listen, that's what they feel, and good for him. And let's see how it plays out.
How much does that help McGovern? So they very clearly said, we don't need a center. We talked about this, you know, a couple weeks ago. We wanted Creed Humphrey, wanted to bring in the guy from Oakland that got. They believe in McGovern. How much easier is McGovern's job going to be when he never has to look left? He knows the left side's covered. He can just focus on the right side. I believe in Stan. I believe Stan could have an equal year to last year where he was a average to above average right tackle. And McGovern can concentrate on helping whoever's at right guard, whether it be Van Roten, Lewis, whoever. Maybe
he better concentrate on his own fucking job. Shit.
I'm just saying, last year, he had chaos on both sides, right? You know, if he knows his left side's taken care of, he might take that next step.
I think the entire line last year was chaos. I mean, you had four new starters and new system. I don't know. Didn't have a preseason. Not really a new system, but didn't have a preseason to get acclimated with new starters, so.
I mean, the only – I think if you look at it at a positive, you have a veteran lineman in front of Zach Wilson, which is a good thing. So he can help him with, you know, line calls and identifying blitzes and everything else. That's definitely a positive. And hopefully he plays a lot better in this game. So, Max, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Have a good night,
boys. Have a good night.
You too, bro. All right, Primetime. We have an oldie but a goodie calling in. Now, we've had a lot of positivity. Steve owned you, which was a shocking turn of events. Steve-O and Tyrone, which is another shocking turn of events. But now we have a legend calling us now. He's been very busy when he's, you know, working for Gary Vaynerchuk now. So he's like a celebrity and shit. But, Jay, what's up, man?
What up, Jay?
What up, Tyrone? What an introduction, man. Let's go. Fired up to be back on the show tonight. A little guest appearance.
My bro is back. Yes, sir.
Yo, listen, in Primetime's defense, and I want to get Primetime's defense here, I know he got owned by Steve there, but, like, I'm hearing, I had to make a quick call, so I didn't even get to hear it. I'm going to have to listen to it on the replay, but I'm seeing the rumblings on Twitter.
No, he don't have to listen back to it. It's all good.
But I'm going to say this, man. We've all been traumatized by the primetime nationally televised games. I mean, like, I was thinking, like, after I saw that, too, I started thinking about, like, the games that we've played on primetime. Like, forget about, you know, Sunday night, but Monday night, Saturday night, whatever. Like, I think in the last decade, I tweeted this, but I think in the last decade, what if we won 3 primetime games total? I think the ones that I can remember, obviously, Detroit, Sam's first game, you know, and then we had that was Monday night, and I think Indy was Monday night, right, when we went in there and beat them with Brandon Marshall, and I think that we had a Saturday night win when we were in Dallas, right, in 2015.
Yep.
And I think
we were there.
I can't think of any other prime time.
I remember a lot of ass kickings.
Right. Well, I'm saying we took that ass kicking against the Colts, which literally injured my soul when they quit on Todd Bowles, and then they brought him back next year. Which, I mean, all right. And then they had, you know, the Cleveland game where they won for the first time in 15 years against us.
Well, they had the Bills game where they were dancing on the field.
The Bills game. I know. Guys, see what happens? You bring me on the show. We were talking positivity, and I bring this shit onto the show. I apologize, man. Let me kick it back to the positive
game.
Oh yeah, God, There's just been some really terrible, terrible primetime games, man. It'll be nice when we have a competitive team again, so we don't have to worry about, like, getting embarrassed.
Jay, let's cut to the chase, Jay. So now we got a new coach, we got the new quarterback, you got a whole new regime, a whole new energy. Are you coming back to MetLife to watch football with us?
Cannot wait. And I was thinking about this. Yeah, of course I'll be back there, and I'm assuming that. You guys are going to have some crazy ass tailgate with your crazy ass followers, aren't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to meet everybody. But I'm going to say this, man. I was thinking about this today. So I saw some rumors. I don't know if it has the truth of it. You know, I kind of just glanced it over, but I saw that there's some rumors that Buffalo would be opening up against New England. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but if that's the case, I think that would mean that we would be opening up against Miami, potentially. And if that's the case, there's a 50-50 shot that shit's going to be going on down here, and you maniacs for our first game back better be coming down to Florida for a boys' weekend. I'm just telling you.
I'm down.
I'm in for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You guys better get
Tyrone,
your asses down.
Tyrone won't be there. Don't even worry about Tyrone. He definitely won't be there.
Whatever.
Tyrone better not be here. We start recreating what was going on in Richmond. I'll die that weekend. I'm not looking forward to that. You start my phone down here. We're gonna have some real problems.
You know what happened, Jay? Tyrone will say yes in May, and then come like late August, he'd be like, "Bro, I think I gotta walk the dog that weekend, man. I can't make that shit. The dog's gonna be walked all weekend. I can't make it down to Miami."
I won't have this Tyrone slander while I'm on the phone, man. I won't have it.
That'll be Saturday night before the game.
Hey, Jay, when I say bro, I miss you, bro. I miss you, bro. Real talk, man. Jay, how's everything going other than that, bro?
Everything's good,
how
man.
Doing,
everything's
bro?
Good. Look at, you know, I can't wait to get football back, man. I'm fired up. Salah's got me fired up. The draft has me fired up. Looks like we're heading the right direction. Like, this is the first time I felt good about the direction of the Jets since, I mean, we had our good little run.
Are you buying a jersey?
Hell no. I don't like those jerseys. They're hideous. If I buy a jersey,
I hate them too.
You know, it's going to have to be to replace, like, whatever crappy jersey I have now. I'd probably just get, like, some throwback Kelly Green or something. Get a Keyshawn jersey or something like that. But, yeah, there's no chance that I'm
here.
What did the governor say today that MetLife's going to be at full capacity?
There's a good chance of it, yeah.
But guys, you know what's crazy? So I was thinking about this. I'm actually this weekend on Saturday. My father and I are taking a little road trip out to Tampa for Mets Rays. We're going to go to our first sporting event in the last time I went to a freaking sporting event. I don't even remember the last one because, I mean, I didn't come back for a bunch of those last games in 2019. So it's like it's been a minute since I've been to a sporting event. So it's going to be crazy to be back in a building, but I can't wait to be back in a full building. You know, like we got robbed of that last year, and you know, there hasn't been a really too many games worth going to in the last couple of years. So to get some juice in that building and, you know, get some renewed energy and optimism and all that stuff, it's going to feel great. And not to mention just getting back together with, the, you know, all our boys and tailgating and all that stuff. I mean, I'm vaccinated and ready to roll.
So then if the Jets play the Dolphins week one down there, are you going to be organizing our tailgate party? Are you going to be like our Captain Chaos for us?
Bro, if the Jets play down here, I guarantee you the most insane tailgate party of all time. Me and Eric, and you know, we'll get together with all the boys. I'll try and get some of the old work crew down for that, and you know, we'll see. I'm sure there're gonna be a lot of people that are gonna want to go to that game, first game back in Miami. I mean, that, could you imagine September kicking it off like the weekend after Labor Day down in Miami? I mean, it'd be hot.
It'd be hot.
That's the only thing that's gonna talk
about.
Dude, I was down. Fucking hot.
Dude, I was down there when Favre's first game was down there in Miami. Dude, it was so goddamn hot that as fast as you drank the beers, as fast as you sweated out. It was brutal, man. It was just scorching down there.
September in Miami is a nightmare. And I'll tell you something, because I, you know, from covering the Hurricanes and being on the field like early on in 2019 with the Dolphins and shit, dude, on that field, it's torture. I don't know how the team plays in that. Like, when you're they have that covering over the fans that kind of shades the fans,
yep,
a little bit. I mean, it's still hot as hell, but the field isn't covered. And like when I would be on that field shooting photos, like just shooting photos, forget about having all that equipment on. I mean, Tyson, you know how it is at training camp in New Jersey, and you know, around that time, you know, August or whatever, it's freaking hot. It's like 20 degrees hotter on that field than it ever was in Florham Park. It's insanity. So it's yeah, I mean, but that said, I mean, you know, We'll figure out a way to man up through that. We'll have to get some club seats or something so we can duck into the air conditioning for a little while. But I'm ready for it. Last time I went to the Miami Stadium was in a Fire Gay shirt. It'll be a whole nother vibe this time. I'm ready to go to battle with Coach Sala.
Yes, sir.
Jay, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Good catching up.
Good talking,
man. Have a good night, man.
All right. We had a good to hear from Jay. So we got now – the next caller, Tyrone, it's very hot and cold with the next caller. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's an absolute train wreck. Sometimes he's super confrontational. So we'll bring on Justin. We'll see what his demeanor is. I'm not really sure. Justin, what's up, man?
Yo,
what's going on? What's going on, baby?
What's going
you sound like
on,
you're
man?
In a good mood.
How you doing, man?
Good mood. How could you not be in a good mood?
So I assume you're
so
excited about
the draft.
We didn't get your thoughts last week, so yeah, what were your thoughts on the draft?
Fine. I mean, it feels different this time. Let's call it what it is. We're finally prioritizing our rookie on a rookie contract. Let's just call it what it is for now. We got a lineman. We got a receiver. We got someone to keep the shiny toy upright. I mean, this is good. This is what you're supposed to do year one in when you get a rookie quarterback. This is what we were supposed to do with Sam. So maybe we learned our lesson from that.
So what are your thoughts on the schedule release for tomorrow? Who do you think they're going to have week one?
Ooh, schedule release? I can't wait. I don't care. I'm going week one. No matter where it is, I'm going. Book it right now. Let's go. Tyrone, everyone better be in the building week one. I don't care.
No.
Miami, I'm hoping it's in I'm hoping we play the Panthers, man. I want the Panthers week one, to be honest with you.
Would you rather a team that's more on our level or a challenge like Buffalo or somebody like that?
I don't want to play Buffalo first week. No, absolutely not. A team that has continuity all across the board for the last 2 or 3 years. Buffalo, I don't want Buffalo. I don't really care who you play, but Buffalo, I don't want Buffalo. Miami would be fine. I wouldn't mind the Patriots because – I don't know. I wouldn't mind the Patriots. Wouldn't mind maybe Jacksonville. I don't care. I don't want Buffalo, though. Absolutely not Buffalo.
Tyrone, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man, like, you know, Blaze said it best. Like, just want to see some Jets football and be able
no.
to go to a game and enjoy.
No, no.
But you're no. But
no.
Tyrone, your thoughts on Justin saying he doesn't want to play Buffalo?
I mean, that's his opinion. I mean, ain't your pops a Buffalo fan, Jay?
Yeah, but we already played them 3 of the last 5 years for the opener. I don't think it's going to happen, but the Bills would destroy the Bills drafted two linemen and you want to see our depleted two-win offensive line from last year with OTAs we don't know about with a weird schedule? Nah, I think I'm a hard pass on that for the rookie. I'm good on that one.
I mean, I think that's his opinion. What do you think,
I agree.
I'd rather see – let the rookie get some confidence. Let him get some throws and continuity, and I'll see Buffalo in early October.
What's that, Justin?
Early October. Hey, Jay, I got a question for you, man. So, I know you
fire up. Fire away, baby. What you got?
But the players that we got, defensive players in the draft, man, how do you feel about the guys that we brought in? Especially the linebackers.
The the linebackers, I got to see how C.J. Mosley, if C.J. Mosley returns to his old form like he was before the injury, I think we're going to be fine for linebackers. But I think we need a little bit more depth there, to be honest. But, I mean, I don't know. I got to see how these guys do during training camp. I think the linebacker could use a few more players there.
Okay, I guess that answer is good enough for Tyrone. Nothing like dead air, Tyrone. Good job, man.
No, I thought you was going to come in with your questions, so go ahead.
I mean, no, you're trying to – I mean, right now he's putting you in your spot, man. He's owning you. Steve owns you. Now Justin is. This is interesting.
You know, I'm just getting owned tonight, I guess. Everyone's excited about it. So what I wanted to ask you, Jay, really, is like – so, like, any other moves, what other moves do you see – Joe Douglas doing before, you know, saying the season starts?
O-line, cornerbacks, O-line. Need a few more O-line pieces. I would have took another lineman, to be honest, at 34 instead of more if that I was picking, but there's a reason I'm not the GM. So, I mean, I like to see at least another, I mean, Trey Turner or veteran lineman. I think there's no reason why we can't add a veteran lineman. I mean, no doubt need to bring a veteran quarterback in because who the hell knows what James Morgan is. But, yeah, those are three positions I got my eyes on that we need to add at least a few more bodies at. Maybe a veteran kicker too.
Justin, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Have a good night, boys.
Wilson jerseys. Yeah, Wilson jerseys already ordered. Get your Wilson headbands ready. Yep, I'll have them.
Wait, what number did you get? Number two?
Number two, of course. Yep.
All right, cool.
Wilson headbands are custom, so if you guys need them, holler at me. Yep. All right. Talk to you guys later. Go, Jets.
He's got custom headbands? Tyrone, we got to get you one of those.
Yeah.
Who's doing that, last man?
He does have the connect on the jerseys, though. He really does. No joke. He really does.
And the headband's kind of interesting. I mean, I can see you wearing one of those. I might have to buy you one of those.
I'm good with the headbands there, pimp. I appreciate it, but I'm good.
Come on, man. I thought you were a team guy, man. You got to support the quarterback.
Hey, you want to give me a
Let's Talk Jets radio headband?
You give me a Let's Talk Jets headband or a bucket hat. Let's Talk Jets hat. Bucket hat. I'm
bucket
definitely
hat.
With that.
I like that.
Hey,
you should do a bucket hat.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Make it happen.
What are we, an apparel company now? Jesus Christ.
Got to start expanding,
hey,
you know?
Man, I want to say something seriously, though. Thanks to everybody who's been buying the shirts, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, God, it means a lot. It's going to a good cause, so I really appreciate you guys' support and you guys being there. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciate all the work Tyrone's doing with that, promoting it, putting it everywhere. We definitely appreciate how he's just marketing the shit out of these shirts. Kevin definitely appreciates it.
Yo, I got I got a whole nasty message from Tyson. Tyrone, you're not promoting the shirts enough.
Oh, man.
But just like a fucking retweet. Like, God damn, man. Just like a retweet, a post, like some shit. God damn.
Yo. Hey, Proctor, I got the whole spiel, bro. Like, Tyson was like, I could just see when he was writing that shit, he was pissed. Like, yo, what are you doing, Tyrone? Like, yo.
Tyrone will spend 3 hours arguing with Cassandra about fucking waffles and bad takes, and he can't spend 3 seconds to fucking promote a shirt that's raising money for a very good cause.
I put it on my Facebook, and I put it on my Instagram. Yes, sir. And I retweeted it on Twitter. So, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Prime time. When we get Tyrone, we got to give him marketing classes one of these days. We'll give him like a little program. We'll teach him how to market shit.
Well, let me say, the last contract, how long was that for? Was that for a full year? Was that multiple years? I want to know when we're getting to the renegotiations.
We're talking about contracts, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got to talk some incentives and performance bonuses and things like that.
Tyrone's not even complaining about not getting paid, man. I'm just saying, man. And speaking of pay, you know your boy, what my man John from Lakehurst say? Where my money at, baby?
Yeah, he didn't call in tonight. He's hiding now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly, man. You just don't want to pay me, man. Like, you know.
It's all fun and games till you lose a bet.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to go to John in Delray Beach. John, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Been listening for a while. This is my first time calling in.
Welcome aboard.
Good to hear from you, man.
Hey,
thanks.
Yes, sir. How you feeling, bro?
I have a reliable source just to let you guys know down here that's telling me the Dolphins will be at Jets week one. So
yes, sir.
I think you're going to hear that tomorrow morning. But
I'll take that.
So I had three predictions for this offense for you guys. I wanted to hear your feedback on it. So number one, I have Denzel Mims will lead this team in receiving. The reason I think that is – I think he's the most talented receiver we have, being that he's 6'3", you know, runs a 4'3".
Wait, hold on. Before, but is that yards or catches?
I'll go with both. I think he's going to be a beast. I think he's in the Justin Jefferson, Chase Claypool type of receiver. Obviously, we didn't see it last year with the injury he had and obviously the quarterback and the coach with the offense, but I think he's going to be that good. I really do.
The crowd is on the team, but I think it's going to be tough for catches because usually that slot guy is getting, you know, upwards of 80 or 90 balls.
Yeah, but Crowder hasn't been the most healthiest in his career, so I have, and I think he might be splitting some time with Moore as well. So I don't know.
I put my money on Corey Davis over Mims for yards.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Davis is
the
most professional guy we have.
Yeah.
Would you say Tyrone?
Both of them be on the field at the same time, though.
Who, Mims and Davis?
Yeah. I'm talking about Crowder and Moore at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, in four wide receiver sets, but.
So, all right, I got LaMichael P. Ryan leading this team in rushing yards. Now, why I say that, and I think he's going to, I think him and Carter will be a 1A, 1B. Listen, I think him and Carter will be a 1A, 1B. They're probably going to split it 50-50. But if you remember last year, P. Ryan was the talk of camp. I mean, he was the most explosive guy we had on offense. There was great things coming out about him. And then he had the ankle.
Well, he was being compared
just,
to fucking Frank Gore. That's why. Shit.
Well, he had the ankle. I don't think he was ever really healthy last year when he came back. And obviously with Gase, you know, force-feeding Gore up the gut, I just don't think he had enough opportunity. But I think he's going to surprise. Obviously, he is a Joe Douglas pick. And I know a lot of people don't think he's a scheme fit, but I think this kid can play. I think he's going to surprise again in camp, and then he's going to get carries. He's going to split him with Carter.
But see, I think with Tevin Coleman and Carter, I think he's gonna struggle to get carries. To be honest with you, you could be right. I'm not the highest on P. Ryan like other people are, but I think, and I like Ty Johnson. To be honest with you, so like, I don't know what he's gonna bring to the table.
Yes, sir. I think Ty Johnson's gonna be a monster, bro. I just think that this system right here, with his speed and his elusiveness, yeah, I think P. Ryan, I think he's the odd man out. To be honest with you,
how many carries is he gonna get? Five or six?
Well, you think a guy that Joe Douglas took in the fourth round, I just have a feeling, you know how these GMs work. I mean, they're going to want to play the guys that they drafted. I mean, Ty Johnson was, a street free agent we picked up. I know he played well, but I just think Piron's going to get every opportunity to get carries.
I mean, I think that, I think they're moving, I think, to be honest with you, I think for this system right here, I think P-Ron would be, if he could probably gain about 10 pounds, could be a great fullback. You know what I'm saying? If he's an amazing fullback. But I think that when you have a guy, when you have a guy like Carter and Ty Johnson, I think they fit the mold of what this team needs better. You know what I'm saying? They're just, they're elusive, great vision, and they one cut guys. I think I don't think he has the speed to really get outside like that. And I think that's going to be, you know, probably, you know what I'm saying, what kind of deters him. And I think that he's the kind of guy that could go on the practice squad or something like that. But I don't know, bro. I mean, whether he was a pick or not, I just don't think he fit to what we're trying to do. And I think that might be, you know, an issue for him. But go ahead.
All right. So I got Mims, P-Ryan, and the third thing I think we're going to see is I think Herndon's going to blow up. And the reason for that, I mean, this dude's playing for his NFL life, right? I mean, he, in order for him to make money, he's got to play this year. I kind of see him in like that Mo Wilkerson where you get in that contract year, and this dude just brings it. Now, I don't necessarily know if we will re-sign him after that because it kind of might be on to the fact that he might be like a one-year type wonder, but I just have a feeling he's going to blow up.
Who was the player? I didn't hear you said. Who was it?
Chris Herndon. Herndon.
Oh, fuck. I mean, listen, he has a ton of talent, man. We were calling him the X Factor last year. Like, he had all these flash plays. He's a matchup nightmare for safeties and linebackers. And this is his last stand, man. Like, he's playing for his career at this point because he's been a disappointment.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Hey, we don't have nobody else.
Boy, we got the young kid step behind him, too, the one we just – that Doug just bought in, so – I think that's going to be something too. Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Prof?
So John, John has three takes. So the P-Ryan one we don't really agree with, the Mims one we don't really agree with. I think the Herndon one we can all kind of agree with. I think, right? There's a decent chance in this offense with good coaching, you could have like a, I'm maybe not a breakout year, probably a solid year though, right?
At the very least, though, he's going to get an opportunity because they didn't really make any major moves. I mean, I know you mentioned the undrafted free agent, but I mean, who else is really competing with him? Major playing time? He's more of a blocking tight end, though. Even Griffin, I don't even know if he's going to make the roster. You know, I think he's supposed to make about $2 million, so I don't even think he's a lock. Wesco, same thing. He might not even be a lock to make the team. So I think Herndon's going to get every opportunity. It's just a matter of, you know, do we get the rookie Chris Herndon, who, you know, was starting to shine, who was able to stretch the field, go over the middle, made some nice catches, or are we going to get the Herndon from last year, who, you know, put the ball on the ground quite a few times, dropped some passes. You know, I don't know which Herndon we're going to get.
I mean, I would think Yabo is going to be tight end too.
They have a high grade on you both. They said that what they looked at him in as a third to fourth round draft. So you know, draft pick. So if that's really the case, he has a really good chance of sticking around. And with Herndon, if he doesn't step up this training camp, you know, that's his job to lose. I mean, but I think this system, we look at what San Francisco did with the tight end, man, they make superstars. So let's hope that, you know what I'm saying, this is something that, you know, a system that really helps. And, you know what I'm saying, you know, this scheme guy's open. So, I mean, I think that, you know, when Herndon was in the middle of the field, his rookie year, bro, we thought we had stole something. And then, you know, to watch him just, you know what I'm saying, struggle.
And now he's like stealing something. Some paychecks.
But, you know, when you had what we had the last few years, man, it kind of makes it hard to really assess what players are good and what players are bad. I mean, you know, you look at a system that we had, we didn't have a good coach. We didn't have, you know, good offensive coordinators in no aspect of it. Our offensive line coach sucked, I don't know. I didn't even know who our tight end coach was last
year. But Tyrone, in all fairness, though, he was dropping balls that were hitting him right in the fucking hand. He was fumbling. He was a shell of himself, man. He came on towards the end of the year, but he was awful, dude. Like, this wasn't like, I mean, the ball was there. He just wasn't catching or holding on to it.
I mean, that too, Tyson, but at the same time, man, I think the kid is really talented, though, man. I'm a fan of his. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, bro. Like I said, like, I really like what he brings to the table. I do, if he can put it all together. You know what I'm saying? I think the system right here is going to be a lot better for him. I think he have a chance to flourish in this, right? You know, what's my man name out of San Francisco? You know what I'm saying? Absolutely one of the best tight ends in the league, man. That comes from the system that he's really in. And Kittle, yeah. My man, he's absolutely monster out there because of the system he was in. So, I don't want all that production, but if he does some of that, I'll be happy with it.
Wait, you say you don't want all that production? I'll take it.
No. I'm saying that I'm not going to sit down there and say, yo, Hearn's going to do numbers like that. No, I'm not going to say, I don't want to say that. I just want to say if he can produce according to what he gives, you know what I'm saying, I'll be happy with that. You know what I'm saying? To see him do something, if he gives me 700-800 yards, productive season for him. You know what I'm saying? Way productive than what he's given. So.
Yeah, I agree. John, thanks for calling him, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, bro. Take it easy. Yeah.
You too.
Have a good night, man.
Wow, there's some positivity, some interesting calls. You know, the running back position is fascinating, dude, because, you know, if you have Carter, you know, Tevin Coleman's going to get his reps just because he's a familiar guy with the offense. He's like the leader back there. You have Ty Johnson. I think, you know, Josh Adams, we know what he is. P. Ryan's interesting, man, dude, because I don't really know how much of a chance they get in this offense. Like how many carries and opportunities even do they get?
That's the whole thing. I think Coleman starts. I think he has a leg up
because
he knows the system. I think Carter gets a lot of carries, and I think Ty Johnson gets a lot of carries. I think that's a three-headed monster right there. Your man from
the only thing that I think about is like blitz pickup to protect Wilson, like whoever's the best in blitz pickup. So I think that's why Coleman probably starts, gets a lot of. I mean, how is P. Ryan as? I forget how he was as a blocker. I don't even remember what his strengths are.
Well, bring back Bilal Powell. Want some blitz pickup?
Fuck, I'm down. I'm down for that. But I mean, that's like the one thing with having a rookie running back, though. That's the one concern you have is like if they get overwhelmed by blitz packages and, you know, Wilson starts getting lit up. So having like an experienced running back in the backfield helps in those cases.
That's why I think that it was so important that, you know, I think that's why they made the emphasis of not bringing in the rookie center and keeping McGovern, because the simple fact that you got a rookie quarterback that's not going to be able to make those kind of calls, and you got a veteran in there that'll be able to make the calls for him and for protection to help him out in the long run.
So, Tyrone, so you're going to go on record and saying that if the Jets play in Miami week one, you're going?
Absolutely, bro. Wherever the Jets play in week one at, bro, I'm going to be there, bro.
Wherever they play week one, you're going.
Bro, I haven't been to a football. I went to Miami. I went to my and big ups to my nephews, man, Lamont and Peanut, bro. Lafayette High School, man, won a state championship, bro. And I was
there.
Awesome. Amazing game. Congratulations to them guys, bro. They did their thing, bro. And this kid, his name is, what is his name? His last name is Green. He's going to UVA this year. When I say this kid is a straight monster, bro, all over the field, yo, defensive end, he played tight end, bro. Kid was amazing, man. Big ups to him, though, bro. Respect to them. But other than the high school football game, Tyson, I haven't had a chance to go to a football game, bro. I am going there. I don't care, bro, what bill don't get paid, what don't get done. I could care less. I don't care. I'm looking forward to definitely being in the building, bro. So I'll definitely count me in week one for sure.
Prime time, what about you? Anywhere, wherever they play week one, you're going?
Yeah, I'm in, man.
I can give a shit. I've been caged in for a year. I'm ready to fuck. I'll go anywhere at this point.
Exactly, bro. Like, that's the whole thing, bro. Like, yo, it's season time, bro. We've been waiting for this, bro. Like, looking forward to this, bro. Like, yo, man. First game be a home game, yo, man. Jet Life Stadium, shit. L7, baby, count me in. I'm drunk by 12 o'clock. I'm gone.
12 o'clock?
Done.
What is this, amateur hour?
12, done.
I remember my first tailgate. Good time.
Hey, listen.
Drunk at 12 o'clock.
You know
what? What are we doing here? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, listen, you know, hey, listen, I don't want to let anybody ever know.
In prime time, you know what it is, though, too? He'll be drunk at 12. He'll get there at 11.
Yeah, listen. Hey, listen, I just want to let anybody know, if you go drinking with prime time Jay and Tyson, I'm telling you, man. Like, I'm telling you, you will be drinking water the very next day. Like, yo, I'm gonna tell you this story real quick, bro. When we went to the training camp, bro, no BS, bro. I know they was drinking all night, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? How they got up in the morning to be there at like 7 o'clock? God,
professionals. That's why
they were out.
That's it.
Absolutely, and I will give you credit. because Tyson did not want to stop. Like, yo, it's over? No, it's good. We can go some more. Big up to my man Ryan and his wife Melanie, because she cheered with us the whole night, bro. That's my girl, man.
But, dude, we were out to whatever time in the morning. We were on this jet sideline, but what, prime time? 8 o'clock in the morning? Like, just hanging out, taking pictures, covering
teams. I think we got back around, like, 4:30 that night.
Yeah, bro, listen. I didn't get up till like 9 o'clock, bro. With like crust in my eyes and shit, bro. I was like done. Like, yo.
No, nope, I mean there's rookies and there's veterans. You're drunk at 12. I mean, that's what you got to do. I mean, just you know, that's the way it works.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Absolutely, y'all are professionals. I'm not even joking.
Well, so prime time. Tyron, as we wrap things up, do you have any parting shots, any fun thoughts as the schedule comes out tomorrow?
I'm just excited about, number one, I'm excited about the schedule coming out tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing what we do and, you know, who we take and who we grab. You know, it's a beautiful time to be a
who
Jet
we
fan.
Take and who
beautiful
we grab. What
enjoy.
The fuck are you talking about?
I mean,
what do you mean who we take and who
right,
we grab?
Yo.
You know, it's not a fucking draft. It's a schedule release.
Oh, my God.
Yo,
what the fuck is he talking about?
Yo, listen. Yo, I'm looking forward to
yo,
who else
yo,
grab
yo, prime time. Yo, yo, tomorrow we're going to grab the Dolphins. I think we'll grab the Jaguars. Maybe we'll pick up the Panthers, too, while
you
we're at it.
You might have to trade up if you want Miami.
Yo, listen, nah. I'm excited about who else.
Dollar
dollars, man. You know, some of these hoes, but I'm also excited about the draft tomorrow, and I'm seeing who our first game is, our bye weeks, and how the season's gonna go. I'm looking forward to it, man. Love you guys. Jets up, baby. That's it.
Prime time. Your thoughts on Tyrone's terrible take just now?
I'll put Tyrone's takes aside and just say that I'm enjoying the renewed optimism on the show, even from some of our most negative callers who, you know, I'll even say, like, you know, myself, Jay, a lot of us, like, we were negative for a while there. I try to look at it more as, again, holding the team accountable. You know, you factor in, like, the Jets' new uniforms and all those guys that are gone and the PSLs and everything else. It's like you never want to really give the team a break, but right now, you know, there's nothing really to complain about. New quarterback, new coach that everybody seems to like. All gas, no break. Buy in for the next 3 months and hope training camp goes well. So nothing to be mad about right now.
Yeah, at Talk Jets Radio, Instagram and Twitter. Let's Talk Jets Radio on YouTube. We'll be live tomorrow night with the schedule release and maybe we can arrange some kind of road trip, stuff like that. We appreciate all the support and we'll talk to you guys either tomorrow or next Monday and Tuesday. Talk to you later. Later, Tyrone. Good talking to you, man.
You too, bro. Have a good one, man. Jets up, baby.
Hey,